I don't know if you got, some of you guys are still sitting down. I don't know if you saw that whole thing, but two dudes try to break into a store. They're going to use bricks to break the glass, and one dude throws it. The other dude walks in front, bam, gets it in the side of the head. It's crazy. Probably not the way to do that. So I just had to show you guys that because I thought it was funny. And tonight, we're in a part of our passage where we're going to talk about robbery, all right? And probably not the type you're thinking. I'm not going to be like, hey, you need to go out and rob people tonight. And we're not going to talk about how you shouldn't rob people. That's not quite where the passage is going. But God is going to make this imagery of robbery and apply it to us. And it's going to be in a way that's going to kind of shock you for a second. Like, hey, is that even possible? Like, what did you just say? And so I'm going to need you to kind of follow with me for a second until the Lord explains what he's trying to say to us. Because at first you might kind of pull back and go, what is the deal with that? So before we start that, though, does anybody have a friend? Raise your hand if you have a friend, right? Everybody in the room, you guys, like, you have someone in your life, whatever, that you call a friend. Okay, most people, I think everybody. How about, like, a best friend or a really good friend? You got one of those? Oh, dude. Are any of your best friends in the room tonight? Point at them. Point right at them, like with your finger. Make a real big point. Right at your best. Oh, we got a lot of them. Oh, thank you. All right, so we got some friends. Well, listen. So I have this dude who is, I consider one of my best friends, okay? His name's Ricky. And Ricky is one of my closest buds. We met in college. We hung out in college, became really good friends. We ended up being the same, like on the same trips to Guatemala and becoming better friends. And then he got married and him and his wife moved to Guatemala when I moved to Guatemala. And we all kind of worked in the same group for a few years. So we've got a history. Like, he's one of my closest friends. And when we were down there working in Guatemala doing stuff, like, we didn't make much money. Let's be honest. We barely made, like, any money. So any little thing would cheer you up. It was one of those deals where it wasn't hard to impress us or to brighten our day. And so Ricky had this awesome blessing. Somebody gave Ricky a car. So him and his wife were like, woo-hoo, we're going to the chicken restaurant. It was like the chicken restaurant was like the deal. It was also the only thing in like 7,000 miles around. So they're all excited. They had a car. And I'm like, oh, I'm so happy for you. Like, yeah. You know, like, you're trying to be happy for them. But then I know they're going to take me to get chicken. So that does brighten my day. But so Ricky's such a good friend. This is what he did. He knew somebody blessed him and his wife with a car. So one day I'm just like, I taught Spanish. No, I taught English down in Guatemala. And I'm in my class, and like, there's no AC. It's really hot. So all the windows in the classroom are just open, and we're just chilling, and I'm teaching. And all of a sudden, his head just pops in the window in the middle of my class. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? You're interrupting my class. One of those deals. Now, Ricky's kind of a mooch. You guys know what a mooch is? A mooch is like when somebody is always asking for something from you. Is that person who never pays you back, that person that's always like, hey, hook me up with this, hook me up with that. That's kind of Ricky. Like, he feels close enough to be able to just do that, and it would annoy me a little bit. And so when his head comes through the window, the first thing he's like, he says is, can I have your car keys, your truck keys? And I'm like, okay, so I need to explain this part. Ready? Someone had let me borrow a truck. And I'm like, bro, you just got a brand new car. Like, what are you coming to the window with your own car that you own and asking to see if you can borrow this borrowed truck? And I'm frustrated. And it's one of those ones like, I don't want to give the dude the car keys because I'm like, you have your own real car that belongs to you. It's not a loaner. And so what I didn't know was, okay, I'm all frustrated. I give him the keys. He takes it. What I didn't know was a little bit later, he comes back. And he comes back with the title to the truck, and it's in my name. And he takes it, and he does all this cool stuff. You ever seen, like, Extreme Makeover? But he did that to my truck, or the truck. So it comes back, and it's like, and we're talking, like, Guatemala Extreme Makeover. So it's, like, it's got a cool, like, steering wheel cover and this cool little, like, metal ball thing. It's, like, 8-ball, like, on the shifter. It's, like, really sweet. It's, like, one of those. Like, but he put a sick sound system in it. So it had, like, a new radio, which is probably, like, garbage. But I thought it was awesome at the time and, like, speakers. And the whole deal is, like, now it's your truck. And I was just like, what? Here I am. I was so mad he was begging me when he owned his own car for my loaner. And he comes back, and it was actually turned into this blessing that I couldn't even have imagined. Now, what if I had been like, no, bro, you're a mooch. You're like, you're not taking my keys. Sorry. And I had been a jerk about it, and I didn't want to give it to him. Well, I never would have got the blessing. I would have missed out on that blessing big time because I wasn't willing to hand it over and be generous with what I had. And so I would have missed out on that whole thing. And what we're going to see tonight in our passage is a similar situation with Israel and with God. Remember where we're at, right? Like, Israel's ticked off. These priests are mad at God, and they're like, Lord, where's your justice? How come you're not showing up for us? And they don't want to serve God. They don't want to give God their best. And so they're in that position where God's like, listen, give me your heart. And they're like, no, like, you're a mooch. Like, I don't want you to have my heart. And they're about to miss out on a huge blessing because they won't hand it over and trust the Lord that he has actually some awesome plans in store for them. And so I want you guys to look with me in Malachi chapter 3. We're looking at verses 6 to 15 tonight. And it says this. You ready? It says, for I, the Lord, don't change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. So here's how God starts this. I don't change. You guys have a problem? All of a sudden, you don't see like this just God in front of you? We know I don't change, so what do you think happened? Who do you think it was that actually changed? And the finger gets pointed right back around at the people of Israel. It had to be you. It had to be you guys who lost your faith. It had to be you guys who stopped trusting me because I don't change. Do you know that's a really important attribute of God that you need to remember? As you're walking with the Lord and you're trying to grow with him, you need to remember that our God does not change. He calls himself the I am that I am. Like, he just is. Like, he's already whole. He's already perfect. He's already complete. There's nothing left for him to change into because he is already holy. He doesn't change. And so when you go through those times of life and things are messed up and you're feeling different and your emotions get a certain way and you look at God and there's a bitterness that takes hold in your heart because of your life and your circumstances, it's tempting to go, God, where are you? God, where were you in this? You didn't see what was going to happen? Did you just stop caring? Did you disappear? And God looks back at us and has to gently remind us, I don't change. I've been here. I've loved you the whole time. I've cared for you. I've been patient with you. I've had grace over you this whole time. It's not me that changes. It's you. But immediately we want to blame someone else. We can't take the blame, right? Because we're humans. So we want to toss the blame somewhere so it's not us that's guilty. And so we point at God and he has to remind us, no, I don't change. I don't change. What they did was, and we learned this last week, remember they mistook God's patience and his grace for a God that all of a sudden just doesn't care about sin anymore. And he's like, no, you're mistaken. I do care about sin. I don't like sin, but I am patient. And I do show mercy on people who sin. And I do chase you down into repentance. And I do love you. And I do run after you. And so they were like, God, you didn't smack this down right away. So you must not be the same as you were before. And he's like, no, I've been patient. And as a matter of fact, I've been so patient. You're living proof. Because look how you've lived. Are you perfect? Have you sinned recently? Have you messed up? Have you ran away from the Lord recently? He's like, if I hadn't been this gracious God all along, you would have been destroyed a long time ago. So you're living proof today that I'm a gracious God and that I'm patient and that I love you. So look at your own self. Now, maybe you're like, man, that's me. Like you just described my life. You know, because you and I mess up and we have failures and we sin and we're not perfect. And the beauty of this God who is holy is that he's also patient and merciful and has grace for us. He didn't change. He loves you just as much as he always has. And he can never love you any more than he does right now. And that's a good thing. So tonight, you can just point at yourself and go, I'm living proof of the grace of God. I am living proof that God doesn't change because he has kept his covenant and his promises over me. Even when I mess up, he's there to pick me back up. He's there to forgive my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Here's what you got to do if you find yourself in the situation we're describing right now. Return to him. Return to him. And it just calls for repentance. If you're like, man, this thing, this sin keeps kicking my butt. I keep getting sucked into it. It's so tempting, Rob. And I try and I beg God and I do everything I can do. But yet I still get pulled back in the same temptation and the same sin. And it's just kicking my butt. And the Lord says, I haven't changed. I still love you and I still hate sin. I'm still just, but I'm still love. He says, here's what I'm asking you to do. Return to me. Put your eyes back to me, call on me, and say, Lord, I'm handing it all over to you. See, remember, the problem is that we don't like to hand it all over. So if you're in that mess, it's because you're going, God, this looks good. Have this piece today. But I'm keeping all this. I'm holding on to this little piece of my heart in my life that I don't want you to have. This sin's too fun. It's too, like, pleasureful. I just want this piece, but have the rest of it today, God. And God's like, no, listen. That's why that sin keeps kicking your butt. Because you're not going, here, God, take the whole thing. Take my whole heart. He says, return to me and I will return to you. God's going to wrap his arms around you when you fall at his knees and say, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't win this thing. I need your grace to help me through this sin. I'm not capable. There's proof right there. I keep trying on my own and I keep messing up. I need to fall before you and say, Lord, you need to do this. But that doesn't just look like words being said to God in some prayer that you forget and just go on your day. That looks like me taking my whole heart and saying, God, I'm done giving you table scraps. I'm taking all of me. Do it. Do this thing. Give me this grace I need. Have all my heart today. Even this piece, even this one down here that I've been holding on to, it's all yours. I'm trusting you today, God, to do this in me. That's what he tells these people to do. He says, return to me. But then look what they say. But you say, how shall we return? You see, these people were so arrogant, they didn't even think they had left God. They wouldn't even admit it. Here's what happens when we sin. When we get caught up in sin, we start to get blinded to what the truth is. You see, we're so busy holding on to it that we don't really see anything else but the thing we're trying to hold on to. That person in your life, that addiction in your life, that brokenness or guilt or shame or pain or whatever it might be that you're holding so tight to that you're scared to let God have and fix and heal, that it's all you see. And it's like these people are like, how can we return? We haven't left. And God's like, are you kidding me? I just told you, I'm not the one who changes. It's you. You're even blinded to that. Are there things in your life right now that might be just like you're clinging so hard to, you can't see that you've kind of got away from the Lord? You're so focused on those things that you look up, and if you were to actually look around you, you'd be like, oh man, like, how'd I get so far away from you, God? Like, how'd I get here? I didn't even notice. I want to challenge you to look in your own life, in your own heart right now, and just say, is that me? Like, am I clinging too hard to something? Am I blinded to the truth of where I'm actually at in my relationship with the Lord? Because they were like, how can we return if we haven't left? And then God says this. He says, will man rob God? So he's already seeing what's going to happen in their heart, right? The question we're all asking, how can a man rob God? How is that possible? Isn't he like all powerful? Like, who in this room is strong enough to go break into heaven and be like, I'm taking this, you know? I'm grabbing that harp over there, stealing it right from the angel. Like, you're not even going to know what happened. Like, I'm just going to steal from God. Like, who can do that? God is all powerful, so who can rob from God? And immediately when we hear that, we're probably pushed back and we're like, what? That must be a typo in the Bible because that's impossible. So God just says it. He's like, this is what you're going to ask. You're going to wonder how this could even be possible. And it's right. It's what they were wondering. And look at his answer to his own question. Yet, you are robbing me. Do you want to know if it's possible to rob God or not? Yes. You know how I know that? It's not because I studied theology in college. It's not because I'm a really smart philosopher. It's just because right there, he literally said it. Yet, you are robbing me, God says. And you're like, whoa, whoa, hold on. This is like changing my whole like thought process. I didn't know I could steal from God. How could that even be? And we find our answer in this covenant that he keeps talking about throughout this whole book. And God comes down and lets us use our free will. And he makes a promise to us and we make a promise back. And that's what he's done with his people. And he allows them to honor that promise or not. God is allowing them to do this. And so essentially he's allowing them to make the choice to rob him or not. And he's like, use your will. You can either honor this covenant you've made with me and honor your promises, or you can hold it back and rob me, steal what now belongs to me. I've given you life in exchange. I'm supposed to get your life. And you're holding your life back. But it's mine. It now belongs to me. That day you guys got on your knees and before the Lord and you prayed and you gave him your heart and you accepted him as your Savior. You surrendered your life to God. You said, Lord, my life belongs to you. And what he's saying here is that when you go, I'm going to take some of that back. I like this piece for me. You're literally stealing from the God of all creation because you belong to him now. That's where they're at. They're breaking this covenant. They're giving God table scraps instead of the whole thing that he owns and that belongs to him. And they're robbing the Lord. And it's a weird concept, right? I remember, so that same truck, can you show that truck? This is an awesome. You're going to see this is a beauty. Look at this thing. Look at how gorgeous that brown truck is. Well, you don't like my truck, bro? Like, what are you dissing it for? Come on, man. Isn't it? That's brown. It's brown. It's a brown Toyota. Look at that gorgeous truck. Listen, it was my baby, all right? That's where my love affair with trucks began. That little old beater of a truck right there. So this beautiful truck, we take Ricky and his wife and some other friends, we all get together and we decide to go into the capital city to see a concert. And it was a Juanes concert. I don't know if you know who Juanes is, but we went there to see Juanes and when he was like really awesome. And we took my truck. I felt so honored because this really beautiful girl that I really liked agreed to go as my date to this concert. So I got to take my awesome Extreme Makeover truck and impress her. It was this cool deal. So we go and we get to the concert. And I had been told by one of my buddies who knew like the Capitol really well. He's like, just don't park in this sketchy parking lot right in near the front of the gates. He's like, you'll get robbed. And I'm like, whatever, bro, whatever. Like, you don't know anything. I go, and I'm trying to impress this girl. I have to get her up close to the doors, you know. So I pull into the sketchy parking lot. And there's a sketchy attendant there, like, motioning cars in, who didn't even look like he worked there. So I get out, and I'm trying to impress her. And I'm like, yo, I'm holding you responsible for my truck. I said it just like that, kind of like mean, like, brah, you know. Like, I'm coming for you if anything happens. And he just looked at me for a second. I'm like, yeah, see that? See what I did? Trying to impress her. And so, like, we lock it up and we go inside. Sure enough, when we came out, you've already guessed it. The dude, the sketchy dude that I threatened is gone. He's nowhere to be found. So is my radio and my cool, like, cover out of my steering wheel and the 8-ball off my shifter. Like, oh, yeah, even the 8-ball, bro. That's where it hurt right there. That was the worst part. Stripped. The whole thing was stripped. It was empty. My truck was just like totally empty because they had robbed it. It was still drivable, so we still got home, okay? But I just remember feeling so like violated, like that's mine. Like that stuff belonged to me. And on top of that, it was all the stuff my buddy just weeks before had done this awesome thing to give me, right? So I felt even more betrayed and violated. And I just wonder, like, as you've handed your life to Jesus, as you've given the whole thing over and said, God, I belong to you, how we as humans can have this like courage to go to God and try to steal it back. Why we think we're good enough to know better than him and how to deal with those pieces better than him. Instead of trusting that he knows everything and wants the best, we try to go and we steal from the Lord. Then he says this, all right? He goes, but you say, how have we robbed you? No doubt they were going to say that, right? Like they still don't believe this thing's happening. In your tithes and contributions, that's where. You're cursed with a curse for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you, he says. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Now, here's what he says, all right? We're almost done. He says this. They're like, hey, how have we robbed you, God? Just be straightforward with us. He's like, you're not giving your tithes and offerings. He gives them one example of all the things that they're doing. He just picks one thing to show them. Okay, I got one. How about like your tithes? Like you're not even contributing to the temple. You're not like helping this thing of worship that I've set up. You're not contributing to it. And essentially what you're saying is worshiping God isn't that important. God really doesn't matter. Now he's just picking on like physical things that they're not doing, financial things. And listen, if you're not tithing to a church, you're not too young to start doing that. If you have a job or you make like allowance, tithing is part of this offering that you give to the Lord to say, my money isn't more important to me than you are, God. And you contribute to your church in that way. But that's not all he's saying. So I don't want to get caught up on just the money part. What he's saying is that you're not giving yourself. That was just one example. You're saying that something else is more important than the God who saved you and gave you eternal life, whose only son died for you when you hold things back from him. And so what he's urging them to do is just say, don't let there be anything in your life that you're holding back. God is that awesome and that good to say, take it all. I want you to make plans for me. I want you to have access to my entire heart and my entire life, Lord. I want it to be yours. I don't want to rob from you. It already belongs to you. But they weren't doing that. They were holding it back. And you might have the same question as them tonight. Like, how have we robbed you, God? Would you even ask that to him tonight? Like, Lord, am I robbing you? I know it sounds weird to say, but it's in the text. God, how am I holding things in my life back from you? Might it be like, maybe it's your money. Maybe you do care more about buying that new iPod or that new phone or that new whatever that you're like, man, I don't think I can give my tithe to the church because this is more important. Maybe it's your time where you stop serving at church or you're not serving because there are other things outside in your calendar and your schedule that you find to be way more important. And so you're not giving to the worship of the Lord like these people. You're like, man, I care more about the sport that I play. Or I care more about like this hobby that I have or these friends I want to go hang out with. Or I don't know what it might be for you, but is there a piece of your heart somewhere? They're saying, God, no, you can't have that. And he's like, but it already belongs to me. You're stealing it back. You're taking it back from me as you do that. And he calls them to repent and give him all of their hearts. I don't know what that looks like for you when he says that. Maybe it's your friendships. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your dreams and goals for your future. And he's like, no, I'm not calling you to be that like astronaut that's going to go to Mars and like chill with Elon Musk and all this deal. And I know that's your dream, but I'm not calling you. I'm actually calling you to serve over here in a much less impressive way, but in the kingdom, a far more valuable way. And what will you choose? Will you let God make your plans? Will you say, Lord, you're in charge of my life and I'll answer your call above everything else? And he might call you to go to the moon or Mars or whatever. I don't know. But don't miss the point. Will you let him decide? Will you let him make that choice for your life? Say, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. Because I belong to you. We sang the song at the beginning. I belong to Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe you really belong to Jesus? All of you. So don't steal back parts of your heart from the Lord. He says, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need. I'll rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. God's like, hey, give it a try. Just believe me enough to do this. Will you just believe me enough to give me your whole life? And if you do, he's like, you're going to see an incredible blessing in your life. Now, here's where some people get caught up, right? We stop and we go, ooh, blessing, ding, 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 ding. What's that going to look like? And we can easily get more in love with this blessing than with God himself. So I want to encourage you not to be the person that's like, God, I'll do this if you do this. You know, I'll give you my heart if you give me a Ferrari. And like, I'll give some tithe if you give me back a lot of money so I can buy a big house. You can't, we're not called to be that person. But here's what God actually is saying here. You can't outgive him. He does want you to sacrifice. He does want you to just give him your all and say, God, I trust you and have faith and let him do awesome things with what you give him. You can't outgive God. He will always give you, give more. But don't do it just to get something in return. Do it because you already belong to Jesus. You already have the greatest blessing that will ever be given from one to another. Like Jesus Christ, eternal life, your Savior. He's already that unbelievable, infinite blessing. His love is better than all of it. Does that satisfy you? Does being loved by Jesus really satisfy your heart tonight? Or are you sitting there like, man, I'm not sure that's enough? There's a lot of other things I think would be far more satisfying than just the love of Jesus. If that's your heart, I want to challenge you that you might not really know the love of Jesus. Because when you've really encountered the love of Christ, it's unmistakable that there is nothing greater and nothing better than that. And Satan's going to try to trick you. He's going to try to keep convincing you that's a lie. And that's why God says, come on back. Every time that happens, let me get you back over here. Get your eyes back on me so you can remember how awesome this love really is. Then he says this as he ends. Listen. He says, your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. Like, you guys have been talking trash. You've been talking a lot of trash about me, and I'm calling you out. And you're like, man, how could they talk trash about God? That's just kind of messed up. Like, you go around and preach against God. But he doesn't just say with their words, right? Like, it's not just that. He's actually describing that it's their lives. Yeah, their words are, but look at what he's saying. They're doing something that's saying that. What are we doing that's communicating that God just isn't worth it? Are there people around you that watch your life and you say you're a Christian and you go to church and do youth group and they see you talking about God and the Bible, but then they watch your life and they watch you choose other things and hold things back from God and they're like, are you saying he's not really that worth it? Because when the rubber meets the road, you're always like pulling back and just doing your own thing. Are you communicating to people that God just isn't really that worth it? And then you're going to ask the question, but you say, how have we spoken against you? Here they are still asking these dumb questions, right? Like, how have we spoken against you? He's like, you just did. Like, we just talked about this. I just told you how you did it. They're so arrogant and lost in their sin, they can't even see it. And then he says this. This is how he closes. You have said, it's vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Here's what he says they're saying. God isn't worth it. It's vain. It's worthless to serve God. Do you believe that? Do you believe it's worthless? Do you believe coming here is just pointless? Do you believe reading your Bible is just this valueless thing and worshiping and singing, it's fun, but it doesn't really have any sort of meat or value or worth? Or does the Lord have you in a place tonight where you're saying, man, that's my entire life. All my value comes from him. And tonight you're like, man, I just want to take this whole heart and stop holding things back. Stop stealing and robbing from the Lord. It belongs to him already. Tonight, I want to take my whole life and my whole heart, and I want to just surrender it and give it to him. Not long ago, maybe it was a few months ago, maybe a year, You guys remember my truck got broke into, my blue truck, not my brown truck. And it was when I was going around to a lot of your yards, and I had those yard signs that say you are loved. You guys remember those? And on Instagram, I was going around and like putting yard signs in a bunch of your different yards and driving around. And so I went home that night after a couple of days of sticking yard signs in people's yards. Because I want you guys to know you're loved. And I took these signs and I left them in the passenger seat of my truck overnight. And I was so tired, I guess I forgot to lock my truck, which I never do. I went in my house and I went to bed, whatever. The next day I come out and my truck was just turned upside down. Over the night, someone had broke into my truck and they took my wallet. They took a whole bunch of stuff. They trashed the inside of my truck. And I realized that they had gotten in through the passenger door. And so I went around to the passenger door and I opened it. And the first thing, obviously, that sticks straight in my face are those signs. And what do the signs say? You are loved. And here's this dude trying, or girl, I don't know, somebody trying to break into my truck when they have these like bad intentions and they open the door and the first thing that slams them in the face is a sign saying, hey, you're loved. And when I saw that, I stopped being mad. I was like, I don't even care. I didn't lose that much. Like, I don't care that you broke into my truck. I just think it's so awesome that God took a bunch of signs that say you're loved and he stuck them on my passenger seat. So that hurting person or whoever was broken enough to break in my truck, what they saw was hope and that God loves them. So who cares if they broke into my truck, right? Here they are with bad intentions and God ends up saying, nope, listen, I love you. And that is the story of my life. Constantly this wrestling match with God where he's teaching me. I'm messing up and he's picking me up and saying, return, Rob, come on. You're loved. Every time I try to run away, the Lord sticks that sign right in my face and I run smack dab into a sign that says, I love you. And I just wonder if tonight for some of you is that sign. You came to this place and your heart is hurting or you're running from God or you're wrestling with sin. And this whole night is about God sticking a sign in your face, reminding you how much he loves you. And he just wants you to return. Maybe tonight you've never known Jesus. You've never accepted him as your savior. You've never been forgiven of your sin. And maybe tonight that's what the sign means to you. Tonight's the night for you to receive Jesus and to give him your whole heart. Be saved. And for some of you, you've been struggling through this whole series because there are parts you don't want to let go of in your life. And every Wednesday when I'm like, hey, any of you guys, raise your hand if you want to give up that piece of your heart tonight that you're holding back and you're sitting there and you're just holding your hands down tight because you're like, no, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I can't give that piece up. Maybe there's a big old sign tonight saying you're loved. Return. Take that piece and just give it back to the Lord and let him do what only he can do to fix it. Maybe that's where you're at tonight. As the band comes up, will you guys bow your heads with me for a second? As we sing this next song, will you guys just be asking the Lord, like, what is that piece, God? What is that thing in me that you're asking me to give up? Would you ask God, like, Lord, if I'm stealing from you, if I'm robbing you, will you show me where? Will you help me to stop and just to give you all of myself tonight? I want you to pray that prayer as we sing this next song.